Hello, welcome back to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Mrs. Micha Horowitz. Today we will continue our study of Divrei Hayamim Bet, Parak Chof Zayin. So if you remember, King Uzziah, who was a righteous king, but arrogance got to his head. He felt that he was greater than he really was. He felt it was his prerogative to go and offer Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. We saw Masachas Erechin that tells us one of the causes of Tzaras is Gasud HaRuach, elevated or haughty spirit, and he ends up in isolation with Tzaras until he dies, instead of him who reigns, Yotam. So I want to tell you something so interesting, and you know we've been focusing on names in our study of Divrei Hayamim Bet, and I'm going to read you Rabbi Adin Steinzelt's introduction to Parak Chof Zayin, because now we are learning about the reign of Yotam, the son of King Uzziahu. Rabbi Adin Steinzelt writes, Yotam is unique among kings in the Bible, in that the Bible has nothing bad to say about him. In rabbinic tradition, he is considered an especially righteous person. Why did I find this particularly so interesting? Besides the fact that it's nice to come actually to the reign of a king who is pure and is straight with God, and the Tuvim has nothing negative to say about him. His name is Yotam. Yodvav being part of Shem Hashem, and Tam is pure or perfect, wholehearted with God. We see many examples of this in Chumash, in Bereishis, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, when Hashem comes to Avram and he tells him to do Bris Milah. He talech lefanai veheye tamim, walk before me, be pure, be complete. So we see tam is a word that indicates completion, wholesomeness, purity before God. What are we told about Noach when we first meet him in the beginning of Parashat Noach? Perek Vav of Bereishit, Perek Pasuk Tet. Ela told out Noach, these are the offspring of Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim hayah bedoratav. Noach was a man, he was righteous, he was pure or perfect in his generation. Eta Elokim hitalech Noach. Noach walked with God. So we see that tmimus, this quality of purity, is a complement, a toar of one who walks with God and one who is pure. One more example, Parashat Todo, Bereishit Perek Chof Hei, Pasuk Chof Zayin. The lads grow up, and Esav was a man who knew hunting, a man of the field. V'Yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. Our forefather Yaakov is a tam, a pure man, dweller of tents. So you see from Noach, from Avram, from Yaakov, that Tom is a quality or a character of one who is pure, complete, perfect, and wholesome with God. So isn't it interesting that this king is named Yotam, Yodvav being part of Shem Hashem, Tam being pure, and like Rabbi Steinzelt writes, Yotam is unique among the kings in that the Bible has nothing bad to say about him. In rabbinic tradition, he is considered an especially righteous person. Once again, a reminder how every name in Tanakh and every word in Tanakh is significant and teaches us a lesson. So, how does the parak begin? Chav Zayin Aleph. Ben Esrim V'chamei Shana Yotam Bimlacho, V'sheish Esrei Shanim Shana Malach B'Yerushalayim. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. Now, Rabbi Adin Steinzelt points out something important. Yotam was in charge of the king's house and governed the people of the land, as it says in Perek Vav, even during his father's lifetime. He appears to have served as a regent in place of Uzziahu. Because he had Tzaraat, he was isolated from society, he could not reign, and therefore it's unclear when Yotam's regency began. The Bible does not specify anywhere how many years Uzziah was a leper, and Rabbi Dean Steinzelt to us, how long he was a leper. I'm going to say how long he had Tzaraas. Therefore, there seems to be confusion with regard to the length of Yotam's reign. In several places, it says he reigned for 16 years, like in our Perek. However, from other places, and he refers us to Malachim Bet and Sota Yodalit, so in other places, Seder Olam, it says he reigned for longer. So possibly the reason for the confusion is because he was already acting not as full king, but in place of his father once he had Tzaraat and he was sent away from the people. So it's unclear actually how long he was actually king for. However, Pasuk Bet tells us, Vayas Hayasher Be'enei Hashem. He did what is right in the eyes of God, what is straight in the eyes of God. Chachal Asher Asu Uzziahu Aviv, like everything his father Uzziahu did. So remember, Uzziahu was a very good king before arrogance got to his head. Rak Lo Ba'al Halhechal Hashem. He did not sin like his father and try to take the role of the Kohen. But Od Ha'am Mashchitim. However, there was one unfortunate stain in Yotam's rule, and that is that the people remained destructive. He could not totally eradicate Avodah Zarah from his reign, even though he himself was tam and perfect, the people were still destructive. And what did he do? He continued the work of building up the territory and the kingdom. Hu bana et shar beit Hashem ha'elyon. He built the upper gate to God. Uvechoma ta'ofel bana l'rov. And so he continues building in the woodlands. He built extensively on the wall of Ofel. So he builds gates and he builds walls. Va'arim bana bahar Yehuda. In the highlands of Judah, the mountains of Yehuda, he built cities. Uvecharashim bana biraniot umigdalim, and in the woodlands he builds fortresses and towers. Rabbi Dean Steinzot says the purposes of the fortresses and towers are for protection and to serve as lookout points, possibly against invading armies. Furthermore, pasukei v'hu nilcham im melech bnei Ammon, he went to war with the king of Ammon, vayachazak aleicham, and he was very strong over them. In other words, he prevailed, he was victorious in this war. Vayitnu lo bnei Ammon Bashana hi mea ki karkasaf vaser alafim korim chitim usa arim aser alafim. So the children of Ammon, the nation of Ammon, gives him gifts in that year. They give him 100 ki karkasaf, talents of silver, aser alafim korim chitim. They give him 10,000 kor of wheat. So Rabbi Dean Seinzot says a kor is a measure of volume of more than 210 liters. And they also give him a sa'orim aseret alafim, 10,000 measures of barley. So to me, it sounds like a lot. Rabbi Adin Steinzot says these were respectable but not huge amounts, as the Ammonites did not possess a large kingdom. So it seems to be that that's according to what they give. After he goes to war with the Bnei Ammon and he prevails upon them, they give him gifts as tribute. So silver, wheat, and barley. And today we might wonder, you know, wheat and barley, but clearly in such an agricultural society and community, wheat and barley are very, very significant. And these are the gifts. And the pasuk tells us, furthermore, Zod he shivulo bnei Ammon u'bashana hasheni v'hashlishi. The children of Ammon continue to do this in that year, and in the second year, and in the third year. So they recognize that he is a sovereign king who holds power over them, and they give gifts to show their submission before him, if you will. Pasuk Vav, Vayitchazek Yotam, Yotam grew strong, ki heichin drachav v'fnei Hashem Elokav. Why? He set, he established, he prepared his ways before Hashem is God. And a theme that we see here repeatedly is that one who goes in the ways of Hashem is successful, and one who, like his father Uzziyahu before he became corrupt, like Yotam, Uzziyahu owes Hashem, owes is the strength of God. Yotam, pure to God. So you see that Yehoshaphat, we learned about him in back in Perek Yud Zayin, a judge for Hashem. The good kings who go in the way of Hashem, like the Pasuk says, Vayitchazek Yotam, they became very strong. Why? Because he prepared, he established, he set his path before Hashem God. So he who reigns l'shem shamayim, and he who has a muna in Hashem, and he who works for God, if he was his emissary in this world, Hashem will make his path successful. This is clearly a big Musar Haskel for us, because it's so easy, especially it appears to be in biblical times also, it was so easy to be swayed by society. It's not just today, and it's so easy to be swayed by society. But when we look around us, we have to remember what David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim, Perichof, Eile Barecha ve'Eile Basusim ve'Anachnu b'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nezker, Heman Karu v'Nafalu ve'Anachnu Kamnu v'Nisodar. Eile Barecha ve'Eile Basusim. You could put your trust into chariots and you could put your trust into horses. Anachnu b'Shem Hashem Elokeinu Nezker. But we know that our true success lies only when we go in the ways of Hashem. And I think this is one of the major themes of the Divrei Hayom Bet and Malchus Yehuda, those kings who went in the way of God, were truly successful. And it doesn't mean not to do a shtadlus. Obviously, A person has to put in effort. You know, we can't, you know, sit and do absolutely nothing and think that success will come to us. But all that hishtado and the success that follows, we have to recognize comes only because Hashem is with us when we go in His ways. And the kings who forgot this, so unfortunately, those kings were not successful, and they're very often their reign ends in shame. And it's something that we have to try and integrate into our own lives. What does Hashem want from me? What does the Torah want from me? What does halacha want from me? And if I can live my life according to those norms, then be'ezrat Hashem, we have the Ribbono Shel Olam with us, and be'ezrat Hashem, our way will be successful. Pasuk Zayin, by the way, Chav Zayin, this is the shortest parak that we have learned so far. It's only 8 chapters long. The Yasser Divrei Yotam, the Chom Mil Chamotav Udrachav, and the rest of the chronicles, the account of the kingdom of Yotam and all of his wars and all of his ways, Hinam Ktuvim Al Sefer Malchei Yisrael V'Yehuda. Behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. Pasuk Ches, last pasuk. Ben Esrim V'Chamei Shana Haya B'Malcho. He was 25 years old when he ascended to the kingdom to reign over the Malchus Yehuda, keeping in mind that we're not exactly sure how long he reigned for, because it depends when he stood in his father's stead, even when his father was alive. Last words of the parak? No, not yet. V'sheish esrei shana malach b'Yerushalayim, and 16 years he ruled in Jerusalem. Last pasuk of the parak, pasuk tet. I said it's 8 verses long. I made a mistake. It's 9 verses long. V'yishkav Yotam im avotav. Yotam lay with his forefathers, which of course is a metaphor for death. V'yikbru oto b'ir David. He was buried in Ir David. It's incredible. I'm sure many of us have been to the excavations in Ir David. Perhaps we have been there multiple times. Every time you go, you see that there's more and more uncovered. And it's incredible to consider how many of the kings of Malchus Yehuda, as we're learning, are buried there. And it's really the burial grounds for the ancient kingdom of Judah. It's tremendous. And all the kings who came from King David. And that's where he was buried. Vayimloch Achaz Beno Tachtav. And who is going to be the next king? He is buried in Ir David alongside the other worthy kings. And his son Achaz, his son, is going to rule instead of him. Shor Perek, successful king, pure king, someone who goes with God, big Mishra Haskel to take from his life. It's also, I think, nice to come to a parak that describes a king that doesn't have the turbulence or the inner turmoil, the infighting with Malchus Yisrael, fighting with the nations, the battle of Avodah Zarah, corruption. It's just so nice to, it's a chizuk to come to Parak of Zion and find a king who goes in the ways of God, as his name indicates, and teaches us how we must live our lives. I thank you for studying today with me. Nishma Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef Alasha, may your neshama have an aliyah in the schar of the Torah we shared. I wish you a wonderful day. Kol tov to all.